Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. And on our guest line, Brad Lammensdorf, someone you've heard quite a few times over the last decade. He's the CIO of Lammensdorf Market Timing Report Newsletter. Mr. Lammensdorf is a market strategist, frequent guest commentator, including CNBC, CNN, Fox Business News, and Market Wrap. He serves as a portfolio manager at Ranger Alternative Management LP, a sub-advisor to the advisor shares Ranger Equity Bear ETF. Mr. Lammensdorf is the CEO of Active Alts, a specialist in alternative investments, and runs hedge fund strategies as well as private equity. He also runs the Lammensdorf LMTR.com. That's the newsletter that gives you free market timing research. Brad, welcome back to Market Wrap.
Thanks for having me.
In the midst of yesterday's rally, you put out a piece titled Beware the Rally. Today's stocks are down today. What is going on, and why do you put this out as a warning signal?
So if you were to go back to other bear markets, I specifically chose 2000 to 2003, you'll find that there are plenty of 10, 20, even 25% rallies that occur within bear markets. And as we remember, the 2000 to 2003 bear market was a full 50% decline, and it took over 3 years. And there were lots of, you know, bear market rallies where people were hopeful that that was it, that was the low. And then, of course, 6 to 9 months later, we're hitting, you know, further 52-week lows. So we think we're in a 2000 to 2003 type period, and this is a bear market rally.
So why do you think it's a 2002 to 2003 or a 2008 and 9 sort of bear market, not a cyclical bear market, where, you know, we don't have the structural problems that we had in 2000 or in 2008. 2008, the banks were over-levered. They'd given out loans that were basically ninja loans, as I call them. And then in 2000, we had the problem with the whole crypto tech situation that we had then, where we had excessive amount of speculation that had pushed prices of companies that were really bankrupt companies because just everybody was speculating. We don't have that structural problem, or do you see that somewhere within this market right now, within the economy right now, that we have that problem?
So here's the issue. The issue is that over the last 10 years, remember how when interest rates went negative around the world and everybody started buying dividend stocks and they started moving out of fixed income, even, you know, older retired type accounts were, you know, not going to stand to make 0.25% in fixed income. So everybody started buying dividend stocks. So, and I could go through a lot of different things, but this is the easiest thing for everyone to understand. So everyone knows that's been in the market for decades that dividends are 50% of your total return when you invest in equities.
Right.
I'm getting ready to put out a piece next week that will put out a chart that creates exactly what I'm getting ready to explain. And I'm going to put a white paper from the Hartford Funds along with it for people that don't understand why dividends are so important, that they will. So over the last 5 years, we've really moved away from looking at dividends, and we just look at the total return of the S&P. The problem is that the last 10 years, the average dividend yield has been 2%.
Okay.
Right now, as of today, we're at 1.51%. So the dividend yield is 25% lower than it's been on a 10-year average. So we're at 1.5 versus 2.
Mm-hmm.
However, interest rates are up 300-400%. So you can get a T-bill for 4.25% to 4.5% risk-free.
Right.
And so when you look at the risk-free rate of money relative to the dividend yield, we are in a very expensive market in general of everything at this point. And it's my belief that at a minimum, we're going to need to get back to a 2% dividend yield. And that's not like going crazy. That's like, you know, you're really just getting back to the 10-year average. We could go to 2.25, 2.5 to really match what interest rates have done. So I'm not necessarily calling for a recession. I'm not calling for a crisis. What I'm saying is that I don't think people realize how expensive the multiples are in the market relative to where interest rates are. And, you know, it's the old saying that Marty Zweig used to say, which was a very famous market participant that's no longer with us, which is, don't fight the Fed. The Fed is still raising rates very aggressively. And you have a situation now where if we were to hit a 2% dividend yield, that's 3,000 on the market. If we were to hit a 2.25% dividend yield, that's 2,800 on the market. So these are quite a bit lower. I'm not sure if we get there or not, but in my opinion, we are well above that at 4,000, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. And there's other, you could go to the price to sales ratio. You could go to a lot of other indicators that also will show you that we aren't near, for instance, the price to sales is equal to where it was in 2000. We were 20% above trend in the S&P over the 2000 high before this bear market started. So to have an S&P 500 price to sales that's equal with 2000 still doesn't create the type of value that's needed to create a long-term bottom, in my opinion.
Couldn't dividends come up as the interest rates have come up? Companies raise the dividends, and instead of the price coming down, or we could also see the sales going up for companies as the economy continues to grow.
All of those things definitely will be occurring, and we certainly could go sideways and bleed through another year or two and not have the downside risk that would be associated with what I'm talking about, and maybe you grow in to a higher dividend yield. I actually saw Marriott raise their dividend quite a bit the other day.
Right.
So that a little of that certainly could happen. But the fear greed index is, which is a sentiment gauge, is also at a very high level now. It's the highest of the year. And traditionally bear markets end with value creation. And I just don't think that we've gotten to those type of levels yet. Like I said, I think those levels are in the low 3,000, so 20 to 30% below here.
Let's talk a little bit about liquidity, because the Fed is still, it's raising rates. They expect to raise by 50 basis points, and the market seems to be celebrating that, but that is still a very large increase in rates. And then they've said that they're going to hold rates higher for longer. The rates are not coming back unless the economy goes off the cliff, which it doesn't seem to be doing it. And at the same time, they're draining $90 billion a month out of the letting the runoff on their balance sheet, where they're not buying the bonds, $90 billion that are maturing. They're not buying bonds and putting that $90 billion back into the economy. And in your article, you wrote, as long as the liquidity situation remains unfavorable, then any rally will be a head fake. Is that what you're looking at, is higher interest rates?
Mo, it's even worse than that. The Japanese used to buy tremendous amounts of our bonds. Their holdings have almost dropped to almost nothing. They have been massive net sellers of our treasuries. China, who used to own huge percentages of our bonds, they have almost completely gotten out of our bond market. Russia used to own a lot of our bonds. They have replaced, before they went to war, they replaced the entire U.S. Holdings of our treasuries with gold. So you've lost, not only have you lost the United States that was buying our own bonds, which to me is almost like a Ponzi scheme in itself, but you also have the Japanese that are no longer buying and the Chinese that are no longer buying. So you really are creating a very illiquid market, and illiquid markets can move awfully fast, and you've taken a bunch of big players out of that liquidity.
Are there opportunities during bear market rallies?
You mean during bear market declines?
Yeah, or rallies like we're seeing right now. Is this an opportunity?
No, there's always, in my opinion, some groups that are look good that are worth investing in. For instance, I actually like the pipelines. They yield 8-9%. They've been in a massive bear market for 10 years. Nobody owns this stuff. It's a hard asset. There's an area where it's been in a real bad the gold market has been in a very, very rough 10-year bear market. So the amount of people that own that is quite low. I think that gold is in a similar situation like oil was 5 years ago. The industry has not had much money put to work in that sector. A lot of the mining capacity is very constrained, which of course will lead to higher prices. So of course there are some niche little areas that look interesting to me, but in general, if we need to drop 20 to 30% to create some value, unfortunately, there's still a lot of margin left in the stock market. And when the margin calls come in as the market goes down, that's where you need to be picking your spots and buying the things that you have on your wish list.
Do you think this crypto problems that we're seeing, could that have a contagion effect in the rest of the market? Could we have a problem, or do you think it's isolated to people who are just invested in crypto?
I definitely think that was starting to get proliferated with inside of the institutions. It had just started. So I think that we've probably seen a lot of the people like BlackRock, and they've already come out and said, look, we're taking a $200 million loss. I think everybody was very quick to fess up that, hey, we got hit and we're going to take care of this. I think the public got extremely hit. I think that there was a lot of people with a lot of money in there. It was kind of like a Madoff situation, where, not to say that this was a Ponzi scheme, I watched the FTX interview with the CEO last night. Sounds to me like it was a prime brokerage unit gone wrong and not really monitored very well. Mm-hmm. From what I can estimate, it was somewhere in the 60 to 80 times leverage. If we all remember long-term capital in 98, they were 100 time leverage. So a 1% move, it will wipe you out. And so, I think that they got burned by just not running a prime brokerage unit, which is a very sophisticated hedge fund oriented type unit that banks have. And they have very serious risk controls that they have within place. So for this gentleman not to have a risk manager on board, I mean, they probably had like $10 billion in capital, and they were probably processing over $600 to $800 billion in value. So when there's a little mistake, it shows up quite big when you're that leveraged. So that my personal opinion on that. But yeah, I think that's part of this process where you're slowing the economy down. People are losing money. They're not going to start chasing goods like they were. And inflation will eventually kind of start kind of coming down now. But it still doesn't solve, in my opinion, the valuation problem. I mean, things could kind of go fine and you still could have a bad market. I'll give you one more. In 1987, we had the crash of 1987.
Right.
One of the biggest crashes in history. There was no recession after that crash. It just was an overvalued stock market. It took a savings and loan crisis and the Iraqi war to pull us into a recession. So stock market events can occur without a bad recession.
Brad, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on Market Wrap.
Thank you very much.
Always good to have Brad on the broadcast to get his views and his thoughts on the market. He's CIO of Lemonstar Market Timing Report newsletter. Go to lmtr.com and you can get a lot more information. Stay tuned. You're listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and I will be right back.